Good morning and shalom. Blessed be the name of Jesus. We have continued to learn how to confront guilt. Even after we have come back to Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we have known that it is possible for a child to come back home with a spirit of and a mentality of a slave. When the prodigal son came back home, he came having a script which he had rehearsed while he was feeding the pig. And he had said, "I'll go back to my father and I'll tell my father, I've sinned against earth and heaven, and I'm no longer supposed to be called your son. Treat me and take me as one of your slaves." And that's a script he made, and that's a script he presented when he came back home. It's true, he felt that he had done wrong. Why he was doing this is that he knew that what he had not done by asking for an inheritance was wrong. In the Jewish mind, it was asking the father that he should die and then he take that inheritance. But now when he came back to his mind, he realized that he did wrong, which is true, and he was guilty. There's some positive guilt in this one because he came back to the mind and he decided to go back home. That is very important. However, when he came saying that, "Make me one of the slaves," now that means that his guilt was now probably becoming more of ungodly guilt that would lead him not to take his father as a father, but to become a slave. Now, in the book of Romans 6, we discover four things that you can be able to win from the spirit of guilt. We have dealt from verses 6, chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. We've dealt with three of them. How do you deal with the spirit of guilt? In the last episode or the last program, we discovered four, three words, and we want to do the fourth one. And we said, number one, we need to know how to listen out in our minds. We need to know how, listening means we must know. That is John 6 from verses 1 to 14, is that you have to listen out what Christ has done. Listening means you have to reflect, come back to your mind and say, "This is what my father has done." This is what the prodigal son did. He said, "My father has more in our home. And even the slaves, they are doing well." He removed himself and said, it's about my father. I did wrong." And so here we have to listen out what Christ has done for us. The dying, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was enough, and the paying for our debt was enough. And so that one we discovered last time. Then number two, we say that you have to reckon. Reckon is to consider yourself dead. You say, "Jesus died, and so I died. Jesus was buried, so I was buried. Jesus resurrected, and so I was resurrected. Jesus ascended on high, and so I ascended with him, and I'm seated at the right hand side of my Father. And I am at that place." And Jesus making sure that my enemy is my footstool, and waiting for God to fight for my battle. So you remove yourself completely from that, and you reckon that what Jesus did was for you. And number three, we discovered that you have to resist some slave mentality. You have to resist that mentality of a slave. You have to say, "I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a slave to right living." Rejecting, because the Bible says, "Let not, do not give your member Do not allow some of your member to be given for, for sin and for all that. Number four, and the last one we want to speak out here, is that we do not want only to reject, we must also do a positive thing of repressing. Number four, we want to talk about repress. We want to repress what is in our mind. Verse 15 says, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to that person you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which lead to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. You see, here we are repressing that which is faulty. Now, this is not easy, but it is possible. Repressing that mentality with the word of God in us. You see, you hear, it is until you come to a point of choosing to be that what I'm doing because of my choice. Now, this is why we are saying that in the Old Testament, you could either become a slave by chance and a slave by choice. Now, and this is now where we are taking the same story of the prodigal son on another way. When he came back, he chose to serve his father. And here we are being told that in the old time, when one would become a slave by chance or by force, by not being able to pay a debt, and you'd serve for 7 years. After the seventh year, you are given an opportunity to go free. This is the year of Jubilee. But there are some slaves who would choose not to go free. They would say, I love my master. I love my children. I love my family. And I want to serve you. This is your saying, I know what kind of person you are. I have an opportunity to go free. And I have chosen to serve you. And this is what they are saying. You have to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that now claim your allegiance. You claim your allegiance. You say, I belong to you by choice. I have chosen. You see, anybody who have made up their mind that I want to serve this person, you'll never be guilty again. Because it is your choice. You've come back and you've said, I want to be with you. I had an opportunity to go free. I had to let, bad guilt go. But now it's my choice. I'm happy. I'm joyful to serve you. And so verses, chapter 6, Romans 6, and from verses 15 to 23, we see a person repressing here. And you're saying, I am going to obey. I have given myself, my members, not to sin. I'm giving my members not to wickedness. I'm giving my body to as slaves to right living. This is what we call that you are a slave to righteousness. This is your allegiance. You're claiming, you're saying, I have chosen. I want to walk by this. And when you do this, you will be able not to earn anything, but you'll be able to say, it's my choice. I have believed in you and I have repressed. God is calling us to repress this mentality, to repress the thinking. It is not easy. It will take a process to be able to repress this. And we should also realize that it is not possible to do it by ourselves. Though we are in chapter 6, we must go until, now when you get to chapter 7, you discover that when you have chosen to repress, you discover it is possible. You discover it is very not possible. Like Paul will be looking at it. He's crying and saying, "Who will save me? Yes, I've chosen to replace them. I've chosen to obey God. I've chosen to live by God's standard, but it's not possible." And we must go up to chapter number 8, where we say, "Praise be to God that Jesus has given us his spirit, who is going to help us." And let's keep learning together so that we can see how to confront the spirit of guilt. Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, help us not just to accept to do sin. Oh Lord, may you help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome every mentality of accepting mediocre, accepting just to be people of the world. But it is only you who can help us. Help us to reject and help us to replace those mentality and to delete all those files that are not of God. Lord, we know that when we sin, we need to delete all those files. And by the power of God, we start to delete every file that defile our lives in Jesus' name. File of evil, file of foul thinking, file of going to programs that do not honor you. Lord, forgive us, and we delete them, not by our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.